Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
All right, coming up, we are going to talk to Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post. But I want more of your phone calls right now. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. Peter, what'd you make of this? What do you make of Avenatti?
I don't know. I mean, look, the guy, he's such a... I don't want to say he's a joke, but there are real credibility issues here. I just don't like the way it comes across. But you brought up the example of Canseco. Man, that's the perfect example of why we shouldn't necessarily dismiss the guy. I don't necessarily doubt what he's saying, but I need to hear it from someone else, too. I know someone else is going to have this information, too. So I just don't like his act, though.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you are looking at... if you are looking at Avenatti's history, right? I mean, that's got to give you pause. It's got to make you think. It's got to make you think that you know, it's the same thing with Jose Canseco, right? We've seen this before. Ryan in Vancouver's called in. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, John. Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
I don't really care that they're getting paid. It's not a big deal to me. However, myself, my sister-in-law, everyone in my, you know, I have people in my family that have student loan debt. These kids are going to school. They're getting their college paid for. Is that not a huge payment to them in the by itself? So I just want to know why is it even a big deal that these kids are getting paid if they're going to get school paid for it or they're not going to get it paid for? You're going to pick one or the other. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, here's the bottom line. I mean, I think you're right, too, because there are a lot of students out there that are struggling to make ends meet, who are struggling to, you know, get themselves financial aid, who are struggling to make sure that they are in position to better themselves for their future, who are not at all empathetic towards a college basketball player getting $30,000 or getting a full ride even, because they're looking over going, hey, I'm working two jobs, I'm doing this other stuff. But I think we have to separate a normal student experience with the experience that they are getting. So I think ultimately college basketball players are not interested in the same college experience by and large that a college student who's chasing a degree is interested in. Alan in Battleground's got something else on his mind. Alan, what's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to give a shout out to the Beavers for winning their regional NCAA gymnastics bracket on Saturday night.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, my daughter was down there. They ended up beating Florida in the last routine. And Florida's number two in the nation, so they're a perennial power in gymnastics. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and I think Oregon State right now should be proud of what's going on in gymnastics, proud of what's going on in baseball. Got one of the top baseball programs in the country again under Pat Bailey. But ultimately, I need Oregon State to get its act together with football and be more consistent with men's basketball. Those are the two things that are going to get people to notice. Get, you know, register. 503-417-7575. I also think that that we are going to talk later in this hour with Joe Davidson of the Sacramento Bee will be with us. Also later in the show, Kelly Graves is making an appearance. Really interesting, the women's Final Four. Did you catch all of the women? Like, were you interested in the women's Final Four? I was. Portland, as a market, had the third highest rating for the championship game in the country. 4.5 rating. Third highest in the country. I think it's another argument why Portland should get a Final Four. But I think, too, as I look across the bracket in the Final Four, I think also you're looking at a Final Four that had an Oregon entry in it. I think you're looking at a Final Four that a lot of Oregon fans were tuned in trying to find out, like, hey, was Oregon very close to breaking through? I know that what I saw on the court in this national semifinal was an Oregon team that I thought could play Baylor 10 times and win maybe four of them. And I saw a tournament that had 20,000 plus fans in the arena. I didn't like that it was in a hockey arena. The people in Tampa are all bent about that. All right, we have tracked down Jerry Brewer, who, it's my bad. I got a text from Brewer. I was on a plane. I thought the text came through saying he was coming on today, and all of a sudden we had to track him down. Brewer, thank you.
What's going on, man?
Thanks for making plans to be on this show right now. I appreciate you.
No problem.
Set the scene for us. Final Four.
It's about to snow here on Wednesday, so we're all thinking about getting the hell out of here. It's weird because, like, this, you know, everybody's trying to get rid of tickets. You know, scalpers can't get rid of these tickets because, you know, there's really nothing of local interest for the local fans. And then this is not the sexiest matchup, but it's not Texas Tech's fault that they beat everybody, you know, beat Gonzaga, beat Michigan, you know, beat Michigan State, you know, sexier teams. Virginia is Virginia, and they've had an epic ride in this tournament, especially the last two games, but they survived and they got here. And at least for the month of March, they're the best two teams in the country. And it just so happens that they both play this slow, defensive-oriented style, and you're really going to need to love basketball and love certain nuances of the game to get into this one, because I don't think we're going to get 120 points combined in this one.
Jerry Brewer, Washington Post sports columnist, is with us. The national semifinal against Auburn, a lot of people, even a caller in the last segment, said, you know, it wasn't a fairly officiated game. What did you make of, you know, that sequence at the end and you know, the foul call and the double dribble?
It's sports. There's human error involved. There's judgment, and we all kind of look at things differently. Some of us look at it as a foul is a foul. Others say you got to consider the situation and let the players decide it, swallow your whistle. Messy endings are a part of it. And for everybody who wants to whine and cry about it, I've got a violin over here. I don't know how to play it, but you're just going to have to deal with it.
I also think that, you know, you've got great theater. I think this is great theater. And I'm glad it isn't the usual suspects in the title game. I don't need to see Duke. I don't need to see Carolina or Kentucky. I like that we've got some new faces. We've got a coach who's going to win his first championship tonight.
Yes, it's the first time since Florida in 2006 that we will have a first-time national champion. And it's the first time in 40 years since Magic and Bird, Michigan State, Indiana State, squared off against each other, in which both teams are vying for their first national title. So I think that's something special. I mean, college basketball in general, because of if you have access to great players, it's really hard for new teams to break into the club. And the fact that Texas Tech is a program that literally has come out of the dirt to get here. You have to respect that story. And Virginia as a story is near flawless when you talk about the lowest of the lows being the first number 16 ever in the men's tournament, first number one ever to lose to a 16 in the men's tournament, and then to come back the very next year, face all of those demons, and make it to the title game. If they won it, I mean, I don't remember a more perfect redemption story or story of resilience, of self-discovery in sports that I can remember. And so I think you have to think about the big picture of things as opposed to whether the basketball is aesthetically pleasing for most of the 40 minutes.
Washington Post sports columnist Jerry Brewer is with us. The Tony Bennett angle, what has he been like to cover and be around during this tournament?
Tony is always pleasant, but when he's on that podium, he's fantastic and he's thoughtful and he has good stories to tell. The minute he's off that podium, he's shut down. You know, I mean, Tony is, for all of us who remember the Bennetts and then Tony and what a great start he got off to at Washington State. I think he went 52-17. Won three tournament games in his first 2 years at Washington State. He's always been just this coaching savant and this handsome guy that everyone is wants to know more about, but he's not going to give you more. It's about faith, it's about family, and it's about a commitment to basketball. And as wonderful as he is during the time you have him, the minute that he is done with that media commitment, it's just total shutdown mode. And I've always, a lot of people joke here that like Tony Bennett's perfect town would be a town in which only he and his family live in. And that's kind of that's how he is. I mean, you never see anyone as private and as resistant of hype kind of ascend to this level. You know, we're used to super egotistical coaches, being among the game's best. And he's about as humble and as genuine and as shy, as we've ever seen at this level.
Jerry Brewer is with us. The makeup of this team, you've got like Kyle Guy who, is fouled at the end. He, is he engaged to be married? Is that right?
He is engaged to be married.
I saw a story where he couldn't have a gift registry. Is that true?
He says that the NCAA was making him take it down because I guess people figured out his gift registry and, they're starting to fill up that registry, people who don't really know him. But Mark Emmert, denies that ever happened.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that public gift registry is down now. That'll tell you enough. So, yeah, it was one of these stupid NCAA stories that we have to deal with because they have such a rigid definition of what amateurism is.
Is Bennett a forever guy at Virginia?
You know what, John? I don't think so. I don't think any other college program can get him. But I strongly believe that there is a part of him that wants to see if his approach can work in the NBA. NBA is all about basketball. His short career in the NBA was a little weird because he was on that Charlotte Hornets team that was so flamboyant, and they really loved the NBA lifestyle and the women and the partying and all that stuff. And he was not that guy, so he was an odd fit in the locker room as much as he enjoyed his time and learned so much. And I think he thinks that what a great thing for a coach like me to be able to come to that league and show that my style could work, that you could, talk to your players about faith and that you don't have to be someone who, is just this obsessive, maniacal guy who's got a greater life perspective and it could still work with these millionaires. I think there's a part of him that wants to do that, but it would have to be an organization that's incredibly strong, a la when Brad Stevens went to the Celtics, even though they were rebuilding, they're the Celtics. You think about the Spurs. There's only probably about four or five jobs that might interest him, and one of them, the Milwaukee Bucks, got filled last year. And it's kind of funny because I think if this had happened last year, I think there's a good chance that he would have been highly interested in leaving and going to the Bucks last year and being the guy who got to coach Giannis.
Fascinating. And I think you've seen that in coaches like, Chip Kelly wanted to go to the NFL and see if it would work. And, you're closer to Bennett than a lot of people. Give us an idea. You were there that night in Louisville when Virginia knocked out Oregon. You've seen Virginia play a few other teams since then. Did Oregon exit about when it deserved, or how do you think Oregon would have matched up with some of the opponents that Virginia saw later?
Man, Oregon, I mean, Oregon was, I mean, they were in overtime on what that team should have been. You know, I mean, I think it's like it's closing time had already passed. They kept the bar open because they were talking to a pretty girl. And, you know, they were like, all right, you can stay here, you know, until we finish counting the receipts and sweeping the floor. And then you got to get out of here. I mean, they should be grateful for how long they were able to last. Mind you, you know, you give them a lot of credit for how they played at the end of the year and in the Pac-12 tournament and in the first two rounds of the tournament. Great coaching job by Dana Altman and really great focus on defense by the players. But, you know, they were going to go in the Sweet 16 probably regardless of whoever they faced because they just didn't have enough offense and they just didn't have enough shot makers. And, you know, I mean, they faced a team that could exploit that greatly and who had just enough offense to beat them. But I figure, you know, most of those other Sweet 16 matchups, they get blown out in them.
Tonight, who do you like? Because I think it's a coin toss. I'm picking Texas Tech just because I think they're a little tougher. But who do you like?
Yeah, there was a play in the Michigan State-Texas Tech game kind of late. It was before Jarrett Culver pulled up and made the three-pointer to essentially ice the game to give them a 58-51 lead. Michigan State was down four, had a prime opportunity to make it a one-possession game. And Odiasi just ripped the ball out of the hands of Xavier Tillman, who's a real tough guy for Michigan State, real source of their toughness, just ripped it from him. And then they go down and they make that three-pointer. And Izzo, after the game, is talking about, we haven't gotten out tough by many teams in my time here, but we got our butts kicked. And that is Texas Tech. And I think Virginia has maybe the sweetest story, and they're just right there, you know, about to get the trophy handed from them. But I think Texas Tech is going to snatch it from them tonight because that's who they are. And we might sit there and frown about how this game was 51-46, but they're not going to care. And they're a bunch of bad dudes that way, like scary dudes. And they really do remind you of a dominant defensive football team. You know, they've got attitude, they've got athleticism, and they've got the muscle to match it. And I just think that's too much for Virginia, especially considering how much Virginia has regressed on the offensive end in the tournament compared to what they were in the regular season.
Jerry Brewer, you're the best, man. I really appreciate you.
Anytime, man.
All right, there he is from the Washington Post. And by the way, if Texas Tech wins this damn thing, the center of the college basketball universe, Baylor winning the women's tournament, Texas Tech in the men's tournament, will be a football state. Leave it here. All right, coming up, 1 o'clock hour, we got Punch It Audio. Joe Davidson of the Sacramento Bee is going to light the youth sports scene on fire. He wrote a controversial piece. Kelly Graves, Oregon women's basketball coach, will be with us to talk about Sabrina Ionescu coming back for another year. That brings us to our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, the big splash came over the weekend. Sabrina Ionescu tweeted out Saturday night late. She was unfinished business. I'm glad there's unfinished business for her. She is more visible at Oregon than she'll be in the WNBA. She's more important to her team than she'll be in the WNBA. And she's coming back for another year. That makes Oregon a pretty strong pick to be a top two or three program in the preseason rankings. Kelly Graves, 2 o'clock, talks more about it. Leave it here. Hour number two next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.